New Hampshire, the Live Free or Die State, comes Uncovering the Truth. 2 hours of mentally stimulating, thought-provoking, sometimes maddening, but hopefully always inspiring talk radio. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Albrecht. Today is Monday, December 3rd. Welcome to the month of December here officially. I think we're full on in the midst of it as I look out my window at a good old probably 4 or 6 inches of snow that fell. And I got to tell you, it's absolutely beautiful out. It's one of those days that makes you say, you know, I'm really glad I live in a place that where it snows. and that's a lot, being an L.A. girl coming from the West Coast, where we didn't really get a whole lot of snow in L.A., believe me. But I love it. It's just gorgeous out. All right. Well, as I mentioned on Friday last week, this is going to be our week to deal with the Verichip microchip implant. Everything you ever wanted to know about the microchip, about putting it into animals, about putting it into humans, about adverse reactions, negative downsides. And we're going to be disclosing a lot of information that's never before seen the light of day or made its way into the mainstream media. And we know that's the reason why you listen to We the People Radio Network. We know that's the reason why you tune into the show. And I'll tell you, you're going to get an earful this week because we've got a full lineup of very special guests for the next couple of days that are going to be sharing some of the inside story, the inside scoop about their own experiences getting microchipped, their own experiences getting microchips removed and taken out of their flesh, their experiences with negative downsides. You know, the downsides to the microchip implant, of course, are numerous and well documented in animals. But what few people realize is that some of those downsides have actually begun occurring in human beings. So one of the guests that we're going to have on the show today, which I'm very excited about, is Jeannie. Jeannie is the owner of Leon the Bulldog, and that is, she is the founder of the website NobleLeon.com. That's Noble-Leon.com. Many of you know Jeannie as the person who inspired all of my research into the microchip cancer connection. And just to give you a little bit of background on that, if you're not up to speed, in September of this year, around the first week in September, second week in September, the Associated Press, this is the same AP that is sent out to literally over 1,000 different news editors all around the world, broke it for the mainstream press, that there were numerous studies dating as far back as 1996 showing a link between the microchip implant and cancer in laboratory animals, in mice and rats, and also in at least two dogs. And that is the story that I worked extensively to get that information to the Associated Press. Spent a lot of time in the basement of the Harvard Medical Library going through the stacks, pulling out those articles and photocopying them. And what few people realize, though, even though that story hit the headlines with a big splash and was picked up by literally tens of thousands of different news outlets around the country and led to people seriously rethinking the whole issue of whether it's appropriate to microchip implant animals or humans, what few people realize is that that story was actually originally inspired by none other than a French bulldog by the name of Leon. And we have Leon's owner, Jeannie, here to tell her story today. Hi, Jeannie. Are you with us? Let me try that one more time. Good morning, Jeannie. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Good morning. It's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, let's see. Now, you've got this website up, NobleLeon.com. I'm going to give out that website again because I know a lot of our listeners have Internet access. And it's Noble-Leon.com. You've got a beautiful picture of Leon, the French bulldog, right up there in the corner. I got to tell you, he's kind of a cutie. And I want to ask you, first of all, what inspired you to do this research and create this website?
Well, actually, Catherine, I never expected to create a website, in particular for a French bulldog, but I think this journey, it began in April of 2004 when Leon developed a fibrosarcoma. And as you know, a fibrosarcoma is an aggressive form of cancer. And in an attempt to solve Leon's health problem, I said to myself, well, what's the source of this problem? And as the fibrosarcoma was located at the site of the microchip implant, I wanted to know if that chip could have caused the cancerous growth. So one of the things that I did was to research this microchip cancer connection. And as it turned out, the data that I uncovered was, let's just say, rather disturbing. And what I also found disturbing was that when I requested additional testing of Leon's tissue samples, and those were the samples taken by the pathologist from the cancerous mass, it was almost impossible to find a reputable lab to examine his tissue samples.
Well, now let me go back to the research, because I think this is really the key. Now, you first contacted me and my co-author, Liz McIntyre, my Spy Chips co-author, back last fall. And, you know, I was just looking at the calendar and realizing, Jeannie, it's been over a year since you and I first made contact. And you were kind of on an informational campaign, thank goodness, in which you were contacting people and saying, hey, there's some research out there that you may not be aware of. And I will never forget the day that Liz and I both received some email from you. And Liz, I can't remember if Liz called me or I called her, but I certainly remember us on the phone saying, oh, my gosh, and our jaws hitting the floor. And at that point, we knew that you were onto something huge. And we got in touch with you, and then the rest, of course, has played out now over the last year to the point where now everybody is familiar, at least we're trying to make them familiar with that connection. But that research really was not something that you could just go on the Internet and type in cancer and microchips and find. So what was that research process like for you to actually dig up and uncover those studies?
Oh, well, that actually was very difficult. And see, that was also... In answering the question of what inspired me to create the website, it was actually because I realized this data is very, very difficult to find. And so I said, well, once I found it, I'd better compile it and put it out there for other people. And so, yes, finding the data was extremely difficult. And then what was extremely difficult, too, is that when I tried to, like you said, I tried to make people aware of this, and I mean veterinarians, pathologists, and with reporting of the adverse reaction. And actually, I just kept running into, well, we could say one brick wall after another. And Catherine, that's even when I had Leon's biopsy report, his pathology report, the scientific paper that was published in Veterinary Pathology, plus all of these other data to support it. So that's why, and it links into your question of what inspired me to create the website, is not only was the data disturbing, but the reaction of those who should have listened. And I want to thank Liz and yourself, because I spoke with Liz originally, and she was the only one who took this seriously.
Yeah.
And that was very, very surprising to me, that these people who should have been interested, who said, oh, my God, this is a fascinating case, and on top of that, you've done all of this research. You have this information to back it up. Oh, boy, I don't think anybody wanted to know about it.
Well, and that's
kind
of interesting.
I said to myself, pardon me, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that's the part that to me is one of the most interesting parts. But there's really two pieces to your story, Jeannie. I think the one piece is the information that you uncovered, which people, I think, are fascinated by and would like to learn more about. And then the second piece, which I think might be inspirational to our audience and to our listeners, many of whom, in fact, most of whom, are fighting their own freedom and information and truth and honesty battles out there in a variety of different arenas, is what do you find as an activist, as a researcher, as someone who stumbled across a smoking gun, some really scandalous information, and you try to get that information out to the public, and you hit that brick wall. And it really, I think your story is very inspirational, because one woman here and one dog have managed to take a multi-million dollar industry and turn it absolutely upside down. And yet that was not something where you just one day said, you know, I think I'll take on the Verichip Corporation or the microchip industry.
But Catherine, absolutely. I had no idea how big it was, and that was never my intention. It was just to say, is there a connection? And not only did I find that there is a connection, but I found the attitude of those who should be interested, those who should want to do more research. And it comes back to Liz McIntyre, because she says, oh, my goodness, you've done your homework. I said, well, thank you. Yes, I have. And it's funny, because when I tried to report Leon's adverse reaction, that was a response actually that I got from some of those people, too. They said, oh, I see you've done your homework. And I had to kind of shake my head. I didn't know if I should laugh or cry, because I thought, yes, I've done my homework. I've actually done your homework. Why don't you listen to the information? But I can tell you, the doors kept slamming.
Well, now give me a sense of that.
There's so many times, Catherine, I almost gave up because I said, oh, this isn't even worth it. But I get something like when the Italian has, they were wonderful, the Italian researchers. They were so professional, and they took this seriously. They wrote his paper, and that also then was an inspiration to me when I actually had his paper.
And let me, that's the piece that I want to get to, because people may not know the full story. So if you could just talk us sequentially kind of through time, you had a suspicion that the fibrosarcoma, which is indeed an aggressive form of cancer that's also relatively rare in dogs, and so there already was a red flag there. This fibrosarcoma definitely associated with the microchip implant attached to it. And at that point, you say to yourself, there's got to be more to the story. You do the research. And then who did you try to take the research to? Where were the doors getting slammed, and then how did you finally get it published?
Well, the first thing what happened was we detected, or I detected, well, actually, it was a kid who was playing with Leon, said, you know, Leon has a lump. And I said, Leon doesn't have any lumps, and obviously I took that extremely, very seriously, and I stopped what I was doing, and I checked, and it was very, very difficult to palpate this lump. She must have just rolled his skin the right way, and I put him in the car, took him down, and I took him to the vet, and they said, yes, this is at the site of the microchip implant. So what we did, and they suspected, they were suspicious. They said, I think we're going to have to do a biopsy on this. And so doing the biopsy, that was easy, and it showed that it was a cancerous growth, and they said, we think you need to remove this immediately, which we did. All of that went very smoothly, and I want to commend the vets who were helping me because they took this seriously. And then the next step was I said, okay, we need to send this mass after he'd been operated on and removed the cancerous mass. Let's send it to the pathologist. That went very smoothly too. It was then after that where I said, okay, in order to solve problems, you have to know the source of the problem. Let's try to really understand this. Then I couldn't get anybody to do extensive testing thereafter. And it was only until, by chance, the Italians came on the scene and they did extensive testing. And I had no idea that that even was going to result in a paper, which happened to be published in Veterinary Pathology. But it was trying to get additional testing was very, very difficult. There's even a point in the pathologist report, and he says, well, no one's interested in this laborious stain. A laborious stain.
What is that? Tell us about a stain. What is a stain?
Well, I think that was to do additional testing. I'm not a pathologist, so I want to make sure people know that I'm not a pathologist or a veterinarian or a doctor. But essentially, that was one of the techniques, I believe, when they need to do additional testing of the cancerous growth. Obviously, they have many tests, and I don't know all of the details, but that was something that he wrote in the pathology report. No one is willing to do this laborious stain. And I said, this is laborious? This is, if it's supposed to be so rare and so fascinating, why isn't there any pathologist and people banging down the door to say, let's examine this? And nobody did.
And now tell me about the Italians and how you linked up with them.
Well, what happened was that they had written some papers, and I had come across a couple of their documents. So I figured, well, I've failed every place else. I have nothing to lose. I'm going to write them. And so I sent a letter to them, and I said, I explained the situation with Leon and the fibrosarcoma. And they said, oh, well, we just wrote a paper. Get this, Catherine. We just wrote a paper, and I think it was either already published or in the process of being published, with regards to another dog who developed a liposarcoma at the site of the microchip implant. So they said, we're really fascinated in this. Why don't you send us all of the documentation? And along with that, there are what's referred to as wax blocks. They had the tissue samples from the pathologist. And so all of this data was sent to the Italians, and they started to do their research. And that ended up in that fibrosarcoma paper. So I don't know if you follow. That's a lot kind of to swallow because it's really, it's so fascinating. There's such a process to this.
Absolutely. And, well, regular listeners to the show know the whole process of academic publishing, because it's something we've spoken about here on Uncovering the Truth before, where what happens is you have a medical finding or a research finding of some sort, regardless of what field of academic research you're doing, and then you write it up, you put down all of the background information, you refer to any previous studies that have been done on that topic, and then they're submitted to academic journals, which are, it's funny because I have a student and he was saying, a journal, is that kind of like a diary? And I said, no, it's a little different. The academic journals are places where the cutting edge latest research is published. And once something gets submitted to a journal, then it gets reviewed. They call the process a peer review process. It gets looked over by other experts in that arena. They ask for any clarifications or for certain areas to be fleshed out and questions to be answered. And then it actually goes to publication and becomes part of the record for the research on that topic. And the research article that you're referring to is actually available on our website at antichips.com/cancer. We actually have both the full articles from the Italian researchers, both of them, both the one about the liposarcoma in the original dog that was published in 2004, and then about Leon's situation, which was published in 2006. So during this break that's coming up, if you want to poke around the antichips.com/cancer website, you can be right on top of the research that we're going to be discussing. In the meantime, we are speaking with Jeannie, the owner of Leon the Bulldog, who helped uncover the cancer study. More right after this.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not who owns the Federal Reserve. Ask not why they took the gold out of our country. Ask not why I wanted to abolish the Federal Reserve. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not.
For the first time since the JFK assassination, we have used the Watergate mantra of follow the money, which has led us to a startling revelation on the identity of the mastermind behind the crime. This revelation could blow the Kennedy assassination wide open. To find out who that mystery man is, go to www.thenextstrike.com and click on the channel The JFK Assassination.
Now you and your friends and family can enjoy the sweetest, cleanest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkey Light removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, yet leaves in the nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful, it can purify raw, untreated water from remote sources. The optional PF2 filter even removes fluoride. The Berkey Light has a rechargeable LED lighting system and an elevated base for use in places other than a countertop. To get your Berkey system, please visit We the People Radio Network at WTPRN.com and click the Berkey banner or call 512-646-6444. That's WTPRN.com or call 512-646-6444.
Deadline Live and Jack Blood are proud to announce our new bookstore. Okay, it's not really our online bookstore where you can get every title, book, and DVD you hear about on our live show. It's brought to you by the people at Brave New Books. BraveNewBookstore.com is the newest, bravest, and most complete bookstore online today. And their DVD selection has all the titles you need to decode the New World Order and fight the information war. BraveNewBookstore.com has awesome t-shirts to proudly display your patriotism and liberty stickers to alert the public at large. Brave New Books is physically located at 1904 Guadalupe Street under the Chase Bank building next to UT in Austin, Texas. So stop on by and maybe stay for one of their film showings. Go to BraveNewBookstore.com now to peruse the virtual bookstore and look for the Jack Blood recommended section. Or call them at 866-516-6623. 866-516-6623 to order the books and videos you hear about on Deadline Live. Be the resistance. Tell your friends about BraveNewBookstore.com.
Uncover the Truth with Catherine Albright, live from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Monday to Friday, right here on We the People Radio Network.
And welcome back to Uncovering the Truth. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and we're speaking this hour with Jeannie, the owner of, or the companion of, or however you want to say that, the best friend of Leon, the French Bulldog, who it was really the inspiration behind the NobleLeon.com website. That's Noble-Leon.com website. And Jeannie, through her hard work, her research, and her efforts, is the reason why now the vast majority of people who pay attention to these issues know that there is a clear, definitive link between the microchip implant and cancer in laboratory mice and rats. We're going to go right back to Jeannie in just a moment. But first, as you know, it is election season, or at least primary election season. We've got just over a month here in my home state of New Hampshire before the voters are going to be going to the polls in the first primary in the United States to choose who will be running as the representative of each of the major parties here coming up shortly in the upcoming presidential elections. In New Hampshire, as you know, I've talked about this many times, we are the center, we're sort of the epicenter of a whole lot of electioneering and a whole lot of people posturing and trying to get us, the New Hampshire voters, on board their political campaigns. And as you know, if you listen to the show regularly or if you're a fan of the network, we are big fans around here of Dr. Ron Paul, a 10-term congressman, obstetrician. I couldn't say enough good about Ron Paul, his views on getting this country back to constitutional, fundamental constitutional principles and rights. And Mr. Paul, or Dr. Paul, was actually here in New Hampshire over the weekend. And for giving us a quick report on that is Tom Moore, a listener from Boston who drove up to see Dr. Paul when he was here over the weekend. Hi, Tom. Are you with us?
Hey, good morning, Catherine.
Hey, well, give us an update. So how was it seeing Dr. Paul in person?
I was a little worried. Over the weekend, there was a real, what I would call a Puritan cult up there in New Hampshire that just bites right down to your bones.
And, it was freezing this week. Yeah, I'm glad it snowed because the snow kind of tends to temper that. But on Saturday, yeah. I'm telling you, you couldn't even go outside without your nose wanting to fall off. It was cold.
And the wind was whipping. It was like 13 below zero. And so I was over at the small Thomas More College, which is in Merrimack, pretty close to where you are. And Dr. Paul was standing out on the football field and the wind was whipping, and all he had on was his coat and tie and no hat or no nothing.
Oh, my. Well, that's a Texan for you, huh?
Yeah. And he wasn't shivering at all. And I thought, wow, I guess you're proving a point there somehow, Ron. But
Woo, that's composure for you. Well, maybe he's basking in the reflected warmth of all the people who love him around this country.
But then we were able to finally, he gave a lot of access to student interviewers and, of course, he's always so honest and forthright in his answers, which you rarely get out of a politician. And so then he went over to Salem High School in Salem, New Hampshire, and he spoke there. I'm trying to think if he addressed any privacy issues. I don't believe he did this time around. He did talk about a lot of different medical issues and how basically the HMO system, which people complain about, was actually kind of forced on the country by the government, the bad system that we're now in. And
what do you
really
know? I'd actually like to hear more about that. I wonder if he's got a
yes.
A
I'm not
resource.
Able to articulate that, Catherine, but boy, he is. And what I wanted to announce is that we're actually having a Tea Party event for him here in Boston, and that's going to be on the 16th of December. At Faneuil Hall Marketplace. And the website for that, there's been a website set up. It's freedomrally12-16.org.
Hang on, let me type that in here. Freedom Rally, F-R-E-E-D-O-M, no spaces, R-A-L-L-Y. What do I put next?
The number 12-16.org.
.org. And let me do that right now. Okay.
Come up for you.
There we go. Ron Paul Tea Party 07, December 16th, 2007. Oh, this is beautiful. What a nice website. Is this your work, Tom?
One of the speakers is actually Carla Howell. I worked on her campaign here in Massachusetts. And after Ron Paul, she's a real expert on the healthcare system and how a free market healthcare system works better, has worked better. And I wish I, that's the one place where I'm really weak in terms of explaining how it came about and how, where it's going. But,
well, Carla Howell will do a terrific job. She, I got to tell her, I've been following her work for years and years, and they've got a new, they keep trying to repeal the income tax in your state, which they ought to do. We don't have income tax in New Hampshire, and our economy, I think, is,
we really scared them. We came, I think it was like, we came within like 3 percentage points. We got like 47, we needed 50. And what it did was it stopped a tax hike in its tracks, which is pretty good in Massachusetts.
No, believe me, that I don't think the legislators have ever seen a tax they didn't like. All right, well, let me give out this website again and encourage people to check it out. I know that you invited me to speak. I would have been thrilled, just for people who were wondering what the outcome of that was. It turns out, actually, that I am going to still be in California on December 16th. I'm going to be addressing a couple of groups out there after the Hope for America conference in Arizona, which is coming up in less than a week now, this coming Saturday. So I will not be available to speak. If I had been, Tom, you know I would have been there with bells on. I would have loved to have been a part of this event.
Oh, that would have been fantastic, Catherine. What else I wanted to tell your audience is this has been completely funded by Ron Paul supporters. It is free to the public. The Ron Paul, we're going to have an actual blimp. The Ron Paul blimp will be up in the air that day. And,
what other presidential candidate has a blimp, Tom? Does that tell you something?
It's funny. I gave an interview to the Wall Street Journal when I was at Salem High School. I don't know what the Journal was doing at Little Salem High School, but I had asked a question afterwards about Dr. Paul. I'd asked him to come and speak at the event. I said, "Your son Rand Paul is speaking at this Tea Party event. Boy, we would love to make this a father and son event." And he kind of laughed at that and. He didn't really say no very strongly. So my theory is, if we can fill that hall and show him, you know, 800 strong supporters, that he might come to it. And the other thing is, as I said, it's free. It's free to the public, but we are asking that you go. There's another website which you can get to through the Freedom Rally. I think it's. See if I can find this other one. To donate $100, definitely. You know, go now and pledge to give Ron another $100 on the 16th. And we in Boston basically wanted to give people a little entertainment, a little education for their $100 donation, you know, to kind of try to meet that goal of $10 million in one day.
Wouldn't that rock? Yeah. And, you know, based on what we did earlier this month, or actually last month, I guess November 5th, I think we're in a position to pull that off. Believe me, we're saving up our money. And I'm encouraging people that when they buy their Christmas presents and they get back change, I hope you're all using cash, right?
Right.
Like poking the ribs there. But as you get back change, you know, you hand somebody a 20, you get back $4 here, you hand them a $100 bill. I like to think of you carrying around actual money instead of using credit cards, and you get back, you know, $27.50. Put all of that into a special place. Stick it in a particular pocket or in a special place in your purse, and then you'll be amazed how quickly you can come up with $100 to donate to the Ron Paul campaign on December 16th. So, all right, well, I'm going to let you go, Tom. I appreciate your heads up on this and the report on seeing Dr. Paul here in New Hampshire. We've got this Tea Party coming up December 16th, 2007. You can find information on that online at Freedom Rally 12, the number 12-16.org. So if you're anywhere in the New England area or in the States where you can drive up to the rally, I would encourage you to be a part of that. All right, thanks, Tom.
Catherine,
I appreciate your call. All right,
bye.
Super. Okay, right after this break, I want to go back to our conversation with Jeannie. She, of course, is the owner of Leon the Bulldog, whose fibrosarcoma was written up, his implant-related fibrosarcoma was written up in an important medical journal or in a veterinary journal, and actually sparked the interest in Liz McIntyre, my Spy Chips co-author, and later inspired me to go into the stacks, the library stacks at the medical library at Harvard University. So right after this short break, we're going to come back with Jeannie. We're going to talk a little more, get her story, find out what it was that she uncovered in those studies, and how one tenacious woman who simply wouldn't take no for an answer has managed to change the face of one of the most menacing procedures and one of the most menacing threats I think we face today. One woman, I'll tell you, one woman can make a difference. We'll see how right after this. Stick around.
Fabrique Nationale makes a rifle known as the Fusil Automatic Légère, or light automatic rifle, considered to be the right arm of what's left of the free world. If you're familiar with FNFAL, then visit GunPartsGuy.com, an excellent source for parts, accessories, and technical support for all FAL rifles. If you'd like to modify or upgrade your FAL, the Gun Parts Guy has a great selection of new, refinished, and refurbished parts. The Gun Parts Guy doesn't have a federal firearms license, and he doesn't want one, but he is the source for parts and the best FAL kits today. Call James at 360-906-8369 or email gunpartsguy@hotmail.com. You'll be pleased with the personal care and technical support you get from the Gun Parts Guy. That number again, 360-906-8369. Whether you call or visit the website at gunpartsguy.com, be sure to mention WTPRN to get an additional 10% discount off their already low, low prices.
What do these so-called Republican frontrunners for president support? Amnesty for illegal aliens, like liberals? Out-of-control spending, like the Democrats? Nation-building overseas? Wasn't that Bill Clinton's policy? Flip-flopping on the issues? What's Republican about any of that? The real Republican is Ron Paul.
The Republicans are losing because they did not keep their promise to end big government at home and nation-building overseas. My record is different.
Yes, Ron Paul's record is different. Ron Paul has never voted for a tax increase or an unbalanced budget. Ron Paul voted against amnesty for illegal aliens. Ron Paul voted against nation building overseas. Ron Paul follows the Constitution, not the lawyers, not the lobbyists, not the latest poll. Learn more about Ron Paul, the real Republican running for president. Go to ronpaul2008.com. That's ronpaul2008.com.
This is Ron Paul, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
This message brought to you by grassroots efforts to elect Ron Paul.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not who owns the Federal Reserve. Ask not why they took the gold out of our country. Ask not why I wanted to abolish the Federal Reserve. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not.
For the first time since the JFK assassination, we have used the Watergate mantra of follow the money, which has led us to a startling revelation on the identity of the mastermind behind the crime. This revelation could blow the Kennedy assassination wide open. To find out who that mystery man is, go to www.thenextstrike.com. And click on the channel, The JFK Assassination.
Ron Paul is here.
The freedom message.
Waking up people everywhere.
I'm Ron Paul, and you're listening to We the People Radio Network.
And welcome back to the program. You're listening to Uncovering the Truth. I am your host, Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and we're speaking this hour with Jeannie. She is the tenacious and courageous owner of Leon the Bulldog. She is the woman we have to thank for the fact that I was able to write the cancer study. I was able to find all of this information and publicize it, that the Associated Press was able to write its extensive report on the microchip cancer connection in laboratory animals and in dogs, and shining a whole lot of light and putting a whole lot of heat on the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, who apparently approved the microchip in 2004 without ever even finding this information. And Jeannie, I got to tell you, I think it's incredible that you were able to find information that the Food and Drug Administration, the very people charged with keeping us safe and monitoring the effects of these type of medical devices, was unable to find or unwilling to look at. And it really took one bulldog and a courageous and tenacious woman to uncover that information.
Well, yes, that was actually one thing that I thought was very, very unusual, was that it was very difficult to find this information. So, and that's why you said what inspired me to create the website. And that comes back to the fact that I realized, I said, I bet you there are a lot of other people out there who are unaware of this information. And it's so important to share it with other people and make it available, because some of this, some of the data you have to pay for, some of the data you really can't find. And that's why these people who are promoting and selling microchip implants, they're able to say, oh, there's no problem, they're perfectly safe. And as I point out in Leon's website, in some of the pieces that I've written, I said, this is not rare, this is rarely reported. And that, Catherine, actually opens up another little can of worms there as to the reporting of adverse reactions or even suspected adverse reactions. And when I tried then to report Leon's reaction to those groups who I thought would be interested in, that was another, you know how I first said, well, I couldn't get more testing done. Finally, I came, the Italians were wonderful and wrote the paper. But then when I said, well, let me report it, well, that was another big problem. And I actually wrote a piece for Leon's website, and for anyone who's interested, that's in the section Leon's letters, and that's entitled Reporting Leon's Adverse Reaction. And the reason I did that was to say, even if you want to report a reaction, it's very, very difficult. And so then you have this vicious circle. So then people can't find the data. Does that make sense?
Well, in a vicious circle, it sounds like, is because you have no place to report it because nobody acknowledges that it happens. And the reason they don't think it happens is because there's no place to report it. So you do get into that.
Well, and then even when there's supposedly a place to report it, if I may just take a little moment to tell you a quick story here. If you read that letter, you see that I was ping-pong from one organization to another. I call Canada, I call the U.S. You're going to think I'm ridiculous here. I called England, I called France, and I called several organizations, and they had all the same thing to tell me. Well, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. And I'm thinking, hello, aren't you supposed to be where people report adverse reactions? And so then I'd say, well, where can I report it? And so they'd give me the name of another organization. And it was the same thing. Well, I'm sorry, but I can't help you. And finally it ended up in France, because that was where Leon was microchipped. And I finally spoke with a gentleman. He was very nice. And he says, well, actually, he says, I'm terribly sorry, but even if I want to log this as an adverse reaction to a microchip, he says, I can't. He says, but I'll record it in such and such a manner, and I'll give you a case study. Well, a case number. And, boy, Catherine, when my dog all of a sudden became just a case number that was probably going to end up at the bottom of a birdcage,
right.
Well,
yeah.
That motivated me quite a lot more. Do you see what I mean? It's really a vicious cycle that we're in here.
Well, now give us a sense of some of the organizations. I've got your letter up here, and this is from your NobleLeon.com website, Noble-Leon.com. Leon, of course, being the name of your noble bulldog. And I'm looking here, and give us a sense of some of the people that you tried to contact who turned a deaf ear to what you had to tell them.
Well, first there was, I spoke with a gentleman at the pharmaceutical company. And he said, oh, well, and this is another story in itself, Catherine. He says, oh, we haven't had any problems with our microchip implants. As it turns out, their microchip was the one that was implanted in the dog who, that liposarcoma case that we referred to earlier.
The 2004 study, right.
It just so happens it was their chip. I said, oh, boy, that's strange. You've never had a problem, but the case study that's been written just happens to lead back to your chip. So I spoke with him, and he was very nice, but that didn't get very far. I spoke with AHA, that's the American Animal Hospital Association in the United States, and that was interesting. The first person that I spoke with was actually very pleasant, and I thought, okay, this is going to be easy. I'll report this reaction, and off I go, and end of story. Oh, well, that's where I got quite a rude awakening and an education. Because she says, okay, well, you need to speak with so-and-so. I spoke with the next person. Well, then I went to a third person, and it was, well, we can't help you. So I said, okay, well, let me try another route. And I had read the British Small Animal Veterinary Association. They have a couple of microchip reports where people report adverse reactions. So this is another quite humorous story. I said, well, I'll call the British Small Animal Veterinary Association. Well, Catherine, the first person that I spoke with there, believe it or not, she says, oh, I'm sorry, we don't have a microchip committee.
Of course
they
do.
Oh, my God.
I've reported on it. I've seen their reports.
Committee no longer exists. maybe I've been hallucinating that I've read these reports. And I said, okay, well, maybe it's no longer in existence. And I said, okay, I'm not going to argue about this. Who shall I call? So then I ended up calling the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons. I called the VMD, that Veterinary Medicine Directorate. And it was the same thing. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't help you. These people regulate products, veterinary products, and they regulate the veterinarians, but they couldn't help me. I said, okay, well, who can help me? And they said, well, call the French authorities if he was chipped there. They gave me another number. So I spoke with this woman, very nice woman. She says, oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you. She says, but you need to speak with so-and-so. So I spoke, the last one, I said, this is it, was the gentleman that I spoke with in Lyon at the Pharmacovigilance. And he was the one, he said, even if I wanted to report this, he says, I can't report this. He says, and he says, you know, our system is so complicated. And I thought, oh, my gosh.
So how many people do you think would have the tenacity after the first two or three times they were told, forget it, would actually keep going?
Well, I think after the first one time, Catherine.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. I mean, well, most people probably wouldn't even have made the first phone call because it doesn't dawn on most people that there is such a thing as an adverse reaction reporting procedure. And that even if it did occur to somebody and they poked around and found a place to do it, I think one, you know, pretty firm, I'm sorry, there's nothing that can be done, would probably shut most people up. And at least two or three would probably have stopped even the most dogged person pursuing this. And yet you continued on. I mean, you kept going and kept going. And that
well,
makes
see, that's
me...
actually when you said that it's a twofold problem here is what I wanted to say in the beginning. Not only was the data that I uncovered very disturbing, but the reaction of those who I thought would be interested in this, well, as you can tell, that was quite a fiasco for me also. And so that's when I said, I think people need to know about this.
Well, and I think that, to my mind, is one of the important pieces of this story because you really, I mean, now you put together the website, which is a terrific resource, by the way. Anybody who's interested in the issue of microchipping, whether humans or animals, would do well to go to noble-leon.com because you've got a whole wealth of information. It's extraordinarily well researched. You've got all the links. You've got all the documentation. You've got your letters on there. It's really a fabulous, fabulous resource for people researching all of this. But unless you could actually get this information into the hands of the authorities or into the hands of the public, you know, a website is great, but if nobody knows to go to it, then it's just not going to get that kind of play. And so I think the key here is, first of all, don't give up. I mean, I'm trying to inspire other people who may be in a similar situation with a story they need to report, is don't give up, be tenacious, get the word out. But I think a part of that, too, is just that determination, saying, I don't care what happens, I'm going to keep at this failure after failure after failure until finally you hit the success and the information gets out.
Well, yes, I'd have to agree with that. And that's one of the things that I learned also that's so important. And I want to, by creating this website, I want to encourage people. This is for animal products and for human products because the same thing applies. Please, please. Report adverse reactions or suspected adverse reactions.
Well, and we're going to be talking about that all this week as we have actually had a number of human adverse reactions that are getting reported this week. So we'll be back with more on that later in further programming in the days to come. And right now we're going to take a break. We'll be right back and talk more with Jeannie right after this.
Jesus sharply corrected the Pharisees and Sadducees for their ability to discern the face of the sky, but not the signs of the times. In a similar way, modern sociologists, political science experts, and historians anxiously scour the increasingly volatile socio-political weather, but still ask the question, what is it all leading to? Does End Time provide a product that really nails it down?
I've got wonderful news for all of us. The Bible explicitly states that the prophecies of the Bible are for the people of the time of the end. So we have a product called Signpost of the Second Coming, and it gives all the signs that you and I should know right now concerning the approaching Second Coming of Jesus Christ. We taught it around the country, and it was so well received.
Signpost of the Second Coming DVD is available for a donation of only $20. To order, visit www.endtime.com and click on Shop End Time, or give us a call at 1-800-END-TIME.
Hey, Jack Blood here, host of Deadline Live. I wanted to share with you my secret weapon in fighting the New World Order. It's a new product called Enerfood. Enerfood is bar none the best health supplement I've tried, and I've tried them all. With many ingredients like spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, barley, grass, alfalfa leaf, beetroot, orange peel, winter cherry root, it really is nothing less than superfood. I couldn't imagine having to shop and prepare all of these ingredients, but now I don't have to. Enerfood's done it for me. A simple scoop of powder every day is all it takes. No fillers, no miracle claims, no magic bullets. Just a real product with real results. Call them today and mention Jack Blood and get a special discount. Get the two-pack special with the coconut oil powder. Call them now, 1-866-762-9238. 1-866-762-9238. Or simply go to enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, enerfood.com. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Now you and your friends and family can enjoy the sweetest, cleanest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkey Light removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, yet leaves in the nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful, it can purify raw, untreated water from remote sources. The optional PF2 filter even removes fluoride. The Berkey Light has a rechargeable LED lighting system and an elevated base for use in places other than a countertop. To get your Berkey system, please visit We the People Radio Network at WTPRN.com and click the Berkey banner or call 512-646-6444. That's WTPRN.com or call 512-646-6444.
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
And welcome back to Uncovering the Truth. We're speaking this hour with Jeannie, the owner of Leon, the French Bulldog, whose fibrosarcoma, that is an aggressive, fast-growing cancer, was the inspiration for her to follow up on the link between microchips and cancer in laboratory animals and also in dogs. And, of course, we've got two stories out. If you go to either Jeannie's website at noble-leon.org or com. Jeannie, which is it again?
.com, but actually I believe you can access it if you do it .org also.
Okay, so noble-leon.com. You can also find my write-up, including a 48-page full write-up and a 5-page mini-summary or synopsis of my write-up and of these studies online at antichips.com/cancer. So either one of those websites, I would encourage you to look at both websites if you're interested in this issue, if you have a pet with a microchip in it. Now, I had a quick question for you, Jeannie. And I want to get into some of the details of this and talk and maybe give some advice to pet owners. But I got an email over the weekend from someone who said, my dog, or actually he was part of a dog organization or a club in which they regularly and routinely encourage people to microchip their animals with Avid microchips. And he said, you know, does it matter what brand it is? And I wanted to address that quickly because I'm sure there's people out there saying, well, you know, it's just one kind of microchip. And what I found in my research, and maybe you can let me know if you found anything different, Jeannie, but it seems as though all of these microchips, they're all the same shape and size. They all have this supposed anti-migration coating on them that are supposed to keep them from shifting location inside the animal's body. They all operate as radio frequency identification devices and respond to a signal from a reader device that's passed over the animal's body. And I recall from the article, the Italian article, Leon actually had a microchip by Mariel. Is that correct?
Yes, that's Mariel Indexo. And apparently, Catherine, I wasn't aware of that either. It was actually then when I took him to the veterinarian in North America, and they said, oh, you're lucky we can scan this because we can't read all of the chips.
Right, and that's actually a topic I want to bring up in the second hour about the compatibility of these various chips, because there's been few listeners realize this, but there's been a form of microchip wars out there, kind of like the Betamax VHS wars in terms
exactly.
of who would have the standard. But before we get to that, I just want to address the ownership of these microchip companies, because this is extremely relevant to the issue of human implantation as well. The Mariel microchip, Mariel, M-E-R-I-A-L, our listeners may be familiar with, because Mariel Animal Health was implicated in this recent case in England where, through faulty security practices, they actually released a form of, not mad cow disease, was it hoof and mouth disease that went out into...
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Catherine.
Yeah, I mean, these guys
I'm so glad somebody made the connection.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are a menace.
Well, and when you see, and that's the thing, that's why, Catherine, you know, people said to me, they said, well, why are you creating this website? And I said, this is, if this were just about Leon and myself, you know, I keep it to myself. I've lost other pets. I've lost people that I've loved before, but I've never created a website. And I said, this is so much bigger, and you have just touched on something very, very important, because these companies, they can, well, I don't know if I can say it on the radio, but they literally get away with murder.
No, I think you can say that, because I think it's absolutely true. And, in fact, we devoted a half of a show a couple months ago to this whole Mariel scandal, in which the very company that has been experimenting and testing around with all of these virulent animal diseases has such lax security that they themselves were the cause of animals getting those very diseases. These are diseases that are not running rampant on their own, and yet when they're released from the laboratory, they were able, through DNA analysis, to trace this stuff back to Mariel. They were either saying it was Mariel or it was one of the government's laboratories.
Well, Catherine, I'm so excited you picked up on that, because I don't know how many people have actually picked up on it, and I sure hope that the people listening today really follow through on that lead.
Yeah, and the real problem here is that, you know, these companies, because... Yeah, the very companies that we're all supposed to look to and send lots of money to, that are getting all this government money, all of this industry money, and are, you know, have lobbyists getting our lawmakers to make all sorts of monetary decisions that are favorable to them, are the very people that we have to fear. They're not being honest with the public. They're not telling us what's actually going on, and they're lying on their websites. They're lying in their promotional material. I'm really appalled by a lot of what's been going on. And so Mariel has been on my radar screen because of that story. And then what do I go and find? I found that Mariel is, now get this, because people are going to really be shocked when they hear this connection. Mariel, the pet health company that's playing around with all of these virulent viruses and diseases and releasing them into the countryside by mistake or on purpose, who even knows how it got out, Mariel is the European distributor for Digital Angels implantable microchip products. Now, that should make people's eyebrows be shooting up, because Digital Angel, of course, is the manufacturer of the human microchip implant. They are the number one sales. They're the parent company of what has now become the Verichip Corporation and Applied Digital Solutions, and they are the people that manufacture and sell and promote the Verichip microchip implant. So the very people whose product led to cancer in these two dogs that have been written up in these Italian studies and are written up on our website, antichips.com/cancer, that very company is now trying to go and get you to microchip yourself, your children, your parents. Anybody that you have control over, they want you to put a human microchip implant in them. And is this really a company, based on their history and based on what lengths they're willing to go to cover up these cancer studies, is this really a company that you want to trust? And I would say absolutely not. I mean, I think these guys are appalling. So
can I just jump in and say something here, Catherine?
Absolutely.
Because this ties in, actually, Mariel and the microchipping. And when I originally... looked at their website, Mariel's website, with regards to microchip implants, and I might add that they pulled that after I had a little chat with a gentleman at Mariel. And they say, with regards to microchip implants, they say, scientific studies show that this system, totally painless, is perfectly well tolerated by the animal and doesn't show any risk of itchiness, allergy, or abscess. And long European experience confirms that the microchip will not be rejected from the body. Now, you're probably falling off of your chair.
Yeah, well, I've heard these claims before, but yeah, you see the smoke coming out of my ears because the scientific studies that I reviewed all showed that there's far more than cancer you got to worry about, that there's a whole host of problems.
Well, exactly, and that actually is the very, very big picture of all of this. And I think that's important for people to pick up on.
Well, and in the case, I want to read something from my synopsis, the synopsis of my 48-page report that talks about why they think these tumors are coming up. And then I want to see if we can get into some of the other things that are the downsides, the physical downsides, the actual health risks in addition to cancer associated with these microchip implants. So let me just run through these four. In reading the 11 studies and the 8 studies that specifically found cancer in laboratory animals, they identified 4 different possible explanations for why they were seeing these fast-growing malignant tumors that in many cases were metastasizing, spreading to other parts of the animals and leading to the animal's death. And here's what they came up with. They said it was either something called foreign body tumorigenesis, and genesis, of course, means the creation of, so tumorigenesis means creating tumors. The presence of the microchip, a subcutaneous foreign body, may cause cellular changes that can lead to cancer. That was one of the explanations. Another one they referred to is post-injection sarcoma. Inflammation from the chip injection procedure may cause cellular changes that can lead to cancer. And this is not a minor issue. You've got a big, fat implant that you're putting into an animal. This is much bigger than a vaccination. And we already know that even disrupting the tissue to the extent of doing a vaccination can lead to cancer. Imagine how much more likely you are to see that kind of cancer in the event that you've got a 12-gauge needle. This is a big, a great big needle, and it's got to be big enough to hold this large size implant. All right, so that's one other possibility. Post-injection sarcoma, meaning a soft tissue cancer responding to the disruption of having a needle go in there. Number 3, possible genotoxic properties of the implant. And here they said the glass capsule or polypropylene sheath surrounding it, that's the anti-migration coating, may have carcinogenic or genotoxic properties, or its presence within the host may give rise to genotoxic byproducts. And what that means, there was one of these studies that the industry has liked to dismiss, involved a genetically modified mouse that was specifically genetically modified to get cancer in response to genotoxins. And unlike the other studies in mice and rats, when they saw between 0.8% and about 4% of the mice and rats got cancer surrounding these implants, in the case of the genetically modified mice, it was over 10% that got this cancer. Now, that's a significant finding because those mice do not get spontaneous cancers for no reason. They only get cancers in response to these genotoxins, and those are things that actually damage genetic material or the DNA of the animals. So that's a serious possibility. And then the final one is that the radio frequency energy emissions from the transponder or reader may somehow be involved in the tumor formation. All right, so there's the 4 explanations. We're coming up on what regular listeners know is the shortest break of our program. When we come back on the other end, I want to take your phone calls. Let me give out the number 512-646-1984 if you'd like to have a conversation with Jeannie, the owner of Leon the Bulldog, and talk more about these cancers. We will be opening up the phone lines right after this. You can also drop me an email, kma@spychips.com. We'll be back with more Uncovering the Truth right after this. Stick around.
On September 1st, Vote Rescue and our coalition, Texans for Real Elections, conducted an exit poll at the Texas Straw Poll in Fort Worth. With almost a 25% respondent rate, we found a discrepancy in one candidate's results, Ron Paul's. We are planning exit polls for the primary and presidential elections in 2008. This is a fun and exciting process in exercising our rights as citizens. Join us as a volunteer with Vote Rescue to monitor those elections and remind the government that elections belong to the people. Become a part of the growing movement to restore elections to the citizens with hand-counted paper ballots. We are winning. Exciting progress is being made, but we need your help. See our website, voterescue.org, for our meeting and action schedule, or call 512-775-3737.
It's time to think outside the box with your host, Alex Angeli, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Central every Saturday right here on We the People Radio Network.